This is Salman Rushdie.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney.
This is E.O. Wilson.
Hi, this is Dar Williams, and you're listening to
the Humanist Network
Humanist
News.
Network
Humanist
News.
Network News.
The Humanist Network News.
It's October 29th, and you're listening to the Humanist Network News, an audio production by the Institute for Humanist Studies.
And the official podcast of the American Humanist Association.
I'm your host, Jess Constantine.
And I'm your host, Duncan Crary.
We're podcasting from the Stephen Yuhl Imagine No Superstition podcast studio.
Yeah, we have ushered all the black cats out of this recording room. And it's a good thing it's before Halloween begins, right?
Absolutely.
Because we're not allowed to have any superstition in here.
So, Duncan, what's the theme of our show?
The theme of our show is humanism, which is a worldview based on reason, compassion, and creativity.
And what are we doing on today's show?
Today's show, Jess, we are going to boldly go where the H&N podcast has never gone before.
Oh, man, not the Klingons again.
Now, before anyone gets too excited, we don't have an interview with Leonard Nimoy or anything. We're actually going to be hearing from some secularists and humanists from Australia, which is a continent we have yet to hear from.
That's right, and no William Shatner either, but yeah. We will hear from planetary scientist Dr. Carolyn Porco.
Yeah, a topic we haven't discussed, right? Astronomy,
space, yeah.
Space exploration, of course, yeah.
It's time.
Okay, but before we get into the show, we always do this to you folks, we have to make a quick announcement. The H&N podcast was nominated for the 2008 Podcast Awards. We're a finalist in the Religion Inspiration category.
So thanks to all you listeners who nominated us like we asked last month.
Yeah, now
that's
go
awesome.
Vote.
Yeah.
Vote for us every day, too. Unlike the national elections, you can vote often.
That's right.
You can actually vote once per day for our show.
Between now and November 6th.
That's right. And there's one pagan show in the Religion Inspiration category. The rest are all Christian, I think. So all the more reason why you should get out there and help us win this award would be a real coup.
That's right. That's podcastawards.com. And while you're there, check out Duncan's, his personal podcast, which he does as a hobby. Mm-hmm. It's in the culture section. It's called Kunstler Cast.
Yeah, Kunstler with a K. And it's my project I do with James Howard Kunstler on the side for fun. But Kunstler was a guest on the H&N podcast number 25, actually. You might remember him from that show.
That's right.
So sure, while you're at it, you can vote for the Kunstler Cast also. All right, Jess, would you like to introduce our first segment?
Sure, Duncan. This first segment was from the American Humanist Association Award Ceremony, where the Isaac Asimov Science Award was presented to planetary scientist Dr. Carolyn Porco. The award ceremony took place on Friday, June 6, 2008, and the award was presented to Dr. Porco by space systems engineer Jennifer Camlinson.
Humanist Association awards the Isaac Asimov of Science.
does the resistance arrive? Most of all, any image we take inspires us to take more images, better ones, closer ones, clearer ones. When we see, we cannot help but wish to see more. It is because of this contribution, not just to our human understanding of our cosmos, but to our collective drive to continue to push the boundaries of our understanding further, for which we honor Dr. Porco tonight. Her dedication, leadership, and above all, consistent focus on the inspirational power of the scientific image data she collected has brought all humans closer to that great question, which we ask with eyes upturned. What's out there? And it is now my great pleasure and honor to present to you Dr. Carolyn Porco, Isaac Asimov Science Award recipient. To these questions. And at the heart of these journeys is the both physical and intellectual journeys is, in fact, in my view, a spiritual quest. That is fundamentally what it is. It's a quest to know, to feel a connection to the natural world around us, but comprehending it, to have a sense of our part in the greater whole. And that is certainly what has driven me to become a scientist, and in particular to become an astronomer. surface. We have flown 35 kilometers above its surface. That's how close we've gotten to exploring this body. We have passed Cassini through this plume of material. We know that the fine icy particles, the powdery icy particles that we see are accompanied by water vapor, by methane, and by other reasonably complex organic materials. Okay, so the analysis of all this information, and including additional images like
Hi, this is Greg Graffin from Bad Religion, and you are listening to Humanist Network News.
I'm your host, Jess Constantine.
And I'm your host, Duncan Crary. We were just listening to planetary scientist Dr. Carolyn Porco accepting the American Humanist Association's Isaac Asimov Science Award. It was a really fun talk. I enjoyed listening to it, and I hope we're going to be playing more of these AHA conference recordings in the future. That's one of the benefits of teaming up with the American Humanist Association, right, Jess?
Yeah, they've got quite the vault of recordings, don't they?
Yeah, well, I'm not even sure. They might even have a recording of Isaac Asimov himself.
Pretty awesome.
Because he was active with the AHA years ago, and that might be in one of their storage crates, like at the end of the Indiana Jones movie with all the crates.
All right. Well, our next segment is going to be another episode, if you will, of Duncan's Humanist Story Corps. You might remember that Duncan borrowed / ripped off both the title and format for this segment from NPR.
Yeah, NPR Story Corps. But
yep.
This is Humanist Story Corps.
That's right.
Totally different.
You're right.
Only in this business is plagiarism a high form of flattery, right?
All right. Well, in this segment, in this Humanist Story Corps, we're going to hear from some Australian secularists and freethinkers, mm-hmm. and they're going to interview themselves.
Yeah, so let's roll the tape.
My name is Max Wallace. I'm representing the Australian National Secular Association. And opposite me is Zelda Bailey from the Queensland Humanist Association.
Society.
Zelda, what happened in Queensland when you tried to introduce humanism as a course in public schools in Queensland?
The response that we had to the current situation is based on the way that religious studies is operating in the public schools in Queensland. Now, we don't have a professional educational program. What we have is an Education Act which allows ministers of religion and their representatives to go in once a week into all the public schools to conduct faith instruction to the children of parents who are members of that particular religion or denomination. The teachers who are employed by the school system have nothing to do with this particular program. If it were conducted by teachers, then it would be a professional educational program. But this is called religious instruction, and instruction is the operative word. We wanted, as the Humanist Society and our members, would like to see the end of the entire program and it to be taken up professionally as part of the curriculum of the school. But since this isn't possible at the moment for political reasons, we have an Education Act that allows this to happen and uses the term religion as the defining characteristic. Now, of course, humanism is not a religion. And the definition, the Australian legal definition of religion, is belief in a supernatural being, thing, or principle. And this is why we're not religious, because we reject supernaturalism. And that means that we can't offer any program because the only programs that are allowed are religious programs. And when we tried to have it, the Education Act changed, the Christian lobby rose up in horror at this development and made quite certain that the draft bill that was before the Queensland House of Parliament was defeated.
And what happened when you put in a complaint to the Anti-Discrimination Board in Queensland?
Well, the Anti-Discrimination Board pointed out that it was within the Education Act that the provision for religion was set out and that we didn't qualify under the terms of the Education Act because we were not religious. And therefore, there was no discrimination. It was, in other words, legal discrimination, which they would not support us in what we were trying to do.
So, and after that, you've forwarded another complaint. You've kicked it upstairs to the United Nations.
Yes. We've sent, I've written a submission to the Special Rapporteur on the convention on the elimination of discrimination and intolerance based on religion or belief. And we're hoping that that special rapporteur will act on our behalf and come back to Australia and tell them that what has happened is unjust and that it is discriminatory under the convention which Australia has signed, and that they really must change it to be more inclusive.
Tell us also about what happened with the previous government introducing chaplains into schools.
Yes, we in Queensland, they're very keen, the Christian lobby is so strong, and they're very keen to see Christian chaplains in every public school. This is a person who is not employed by the Education Department, is employed by an organization called the Scripture Union, which is supported by all the churches. And therefore, it's the public education system is not held accountable for any of the activities of the chaplain because they're not the employing authority, the Scripture Union is. And the federal government is, which we changed just recently, but the original federal government has allotted millions and millions of dollars to support this program, and the state government has added a considerable amount more. So it's very, very well funded, and even the Scripture Union now is receiving government funding in order to supervise and promote this program in state schools. So, you know, things could hardly be worse for humanists.
So it's not possible for a humanist chaplain to teach in a state school in Australia?
The term humanist chaplain is considered by most to be an oxymoron. They do not accept that there could be such a thing as in many cases, as a non-Christian chaplain, but those who will accept the fact that other religions can have chaplains still do not accept the fact that humanists can have chaplains. So we are in a very difficult position because no matter where we turn to try to bring humanism to the public or to find a public forum to disseminate our ideas, we find that doors are closed in our face at just about every turn.
This is reflecting the fact that there's no separation of church and state.
Exactly.
In Australia.
Yes. And you have gone into this in great detail in your book, The Purple Economy, actually outlines many of the things that I'm talking about in terms of their legal ramifications and even broader than what I've been talking about.
Yes, that's right. The most Australians don't understand that in 1981, in the Defence of Government Schools case, where the High Court decided that it was constitutional for governments, both federal and state, to give tens of billions of dollars to private religious schools, that during the course of that decision, the court decided that there's no constitutional separation of church and state at a federal level in Australia. It's also the case that in the state constitutions, and most Australians wouldn't know that states have constitutions, there's no mention of religion, so it's quite possible for state governments to give considerable amounts of money either to religious schools or directly to religion. And that's what's happening now, where both federal and state governments have given something in the region of $100 million to the Catholic Church to help fund World Youth Day, which is going to occur in Sydney in July. It's also true that there's no constitutional separation of church and state in New Zealand. Most New Zealanders don't understand this because New Zealand doesn't have a constitution. And it's all buried in British jurisprudence. And one former Prime Minister, Sir Geoffrey Palmer, has remarked in an interview that the information about the constitutional position in New Zealand is such a best-kept secret, he thinks it's a bit of a conspiracy that New Zealanders don't know about this. And that's coming from a former Prime Minister. So we're really in the dark in our country about this. And the consequences of there being no separation play out in the kinds of things that you've experienced through education. And as you know, we're having an education summit in Sydney in June the 28th, where about 80 educational experts are coming from different regions of Australia to discuss something the new federal government is reluctant to discuss, and that is how is public education going to be saved and continued in these circumstances? Or are we going to, fall back into a kind of voucher system that seems to be being pushed in the United States, which is just a sleight of hand for running down the public school system and enriching the private schools as a way of advancing the cause of religion.
Well, I'm deeply concerned about the future national curriculum, which the departments, various education departments across Australia are talking about, because I'm going to see that the religious views are embedded in all the things that are dealt with within the national curriculum. And at the moment, humanism hasn't got a mention at any stage, in any area, and that it'll be absent from the national curriculum as well. And my deep concern is to try to get it in as quickly as possible so that it's mentioned and that we're treated with equality.
There seems to be this tremendous impetus by the Christian lobby to have themselves represented in all matters of education and government. And even though in the schools themselves, religious education seems to be a failure.
Well, it was a huge failure back in the 70s in Queensland, to the extent where they had a sort of a review of the whole system of what I call faith instruction, because that's all we have. We don't have education about religion or about systems of belief. We just simply have faith instruction. And it was such a failure in the 70s that the Education Department in Queensland formed a committee in order to sort out the problems. And they sorted it out by ending up by funding it by training the people coming in from the community who were volunteers and not trained teachers. So what they did was they put them through courses in order to make it a success. So instead of getting rid of the whole thing, which they could have done at that stage, they brought all the ministers of religion in, had a big talk about it, and then employed people in order to correct the deficiencies. So, and when you've got that kind of attitude, you really don't know where to start to break into the whole thing to change it along the lines that we would like to see.
Beautiful. Could you wrap it up with just asking each other to, because we have an international audience, just what it's actually like to be a humanist in Australia? How do other people perceive you? That would be a... But you have done a wonderful job. I just thought that would be a nice way to...
Well, I'll try. Mm. Shall I just start off and then you can wrap it up with your book and another little mention of your... Because you haven't actually talked about your book. Oh, just a minute, I've got to think of how I can come into it.
Oh,
right, just talk about being a humanist, the experience of being a humanist.
Yeah, for the
Okay. The experience of being a humanist in Australia is really such a frustrating situation, because although one believes that what one has to offer is of such great value and that, rationally one can justify and support everything that we believe in, to find that people treat you as not only a second-class citizen, but a kind of 10th or 12th-class citizen, and that barriers are set up at every turn to prevent you from having access, equal access with the religions, being respected equally, and you just feel so, victimized, let's put it bluntly. So I think that possibly Australia is in one of the worst situations that you can find across the Western world, the so-called civilized world, and that we really do need the help of all the international forums for humanism so that we can rectify this serious problem that we have. I think your research, I think, has probably, reinforced and emphasized what I've just said, Max.
Yes. Australia and New Zealand are often called Christian nations, but the fact of the matter is that in Australia, people who identify as Christian in the census has declined to 64%. No religion is up to 20%. When you factor in people who won't comment and are not stated in the census and other minority religions, then the gap between those who are Christian and those who are not Christian has declined remarkably. But the situation in New Zealand is even more interesting, where those who identify as Christian in New Zealand are down to a mere 50%, and no religion not stated and other minority religions is up to 48%.
Mm.
So at the next census, in terms of numbers, New Zealand is going to cease to be a Christian nation if you just go on the numbers.
Yes.
But, of course, I would argue that we're not Christian nations, we're secular nations. That was the intentions of the founding fathers in both countries, and that the situation has been misrepresented, and the court has done us a grievous harm in the 1981 decision, and it's up to us to turn this around.
Well, I think it's absolutely essential that we try as hard as we possibly can to establish a secular republic, Australian republic, because I think if we had a secular constitution with a Bill of Rights and were, instead of a monarchy, I know that the Queen of England is the head of the Church of England, but nevertheless, we have inherited the expectations and the assumptions of that particular British history, and I think that we are reaping, you know, the problems that have flowed from that situation, and that we really do have to rally in order to put humanism on an equal status.
In a republic with a constitutional separation of church and state.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, that just about wraps up today's show. But before we let you go, don't forget, vote early.
Vote now.
And vote often.
And of course, we're referring to the 4th Annual Podcast Awards, in which the H&N Podcast is a finalist, not the American election. You're not supposed to vote often in that.
That's right. So visit podcastawards.com.
Yeah.
Look for us under the Religion and Inspiration section. Mm-hmm. Vote for Humanist Network News. And while you're on that page, go ahead and stroll over to the Culture and Arts section and vote for Duncan's personal podcast, The ConcertCast.
Yeah. Now that I'm using the H&N podcast to promote my own personal project.
He's a previous show on our podcast also featured in...
In the Humanist, that's right. So Jim was on H&N podcast number 25. Mm-hmm. You can listen to that. And also, I did publish an article in the, not the most recent Humanist, but the issue right before that, September, about the human habitat. You can read that online at the American Humanists website, thehumanist.org.
There you go. See, it all comes full circle.
Yeah.
All right. And we'd love to hear from you folks. So please feel free to, at any point, call our listener comment line. It's toll free. And the number is 877-659-1515.
Don't forget to read the Humanist Network News e-zine on the weeks that we're not publishing the H&N podcast at humanistnetworknews.org.
You can also listen to previous episodes, and you can read show notes and transcripts at humaniststudies.org/podcast.
Or at americanhumanist.org/podcast, because H&N is the official podcast of the American Humanist Association. We've been coming at you from the Stephen Yuhl Imagine No Superstition studio. You can learn more about Dr. Yuhl and his book, Imagine No Superstition, and check out his weekly audio podcast, No Gods, No Guilt, at imaginenosuperstition.com.
Folks, next time you hear from us, there will be a new American president.
Yeah, I wonder who it's going to be.
Me too.
Well, I'm your host, Duncan Crary.
And I'm your host, Jess Constantine.
Thanks for listening.
Have a happy and safe Halloween.
Every light in my mind goes shining.